Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
Well, I'm excited to be here today. It is part two of our At the Movies series. And if you don't know me, then that's your loss. No, I am I'm not that arrogant, but my name is Johnny Popovitz, and I am so glad to be here today. This is a fantastic series, and I think it's a great way to look at truth and how we can find truth in many, many different places. Today, my hope and my prayer is that you will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, that you will be able to use the insert or the live event in you version to connect, to dig deeper into scriptures, to take notes about something that God has laid on your heart. And so, I think it's time to get this baby up to 88 miles per hour and take a look at the next movie in our series. It is Back to the Future. Now this is a film that came out in the summer of 1985. And it is one that captivated my brother and I. I can remember my mom coming home and saying, "Your father and I just saw this movie and I'm taking you and your brother to go see it. It is amazing." And it was. And it still is to this day. It's something that we really connected with, and it's a movie that I think a lot of you have already seen. And if you haven't, I hope that you make time to after this. Now, time travel has always been something that's been looked at in literature and in films. It's been something that people use as a way to help tell their story, to look back, to interact with their past. Now, to get back and forth in time, you need a machine, right? You need a device. Well, Doc Brown, in the Back to the Future film series, builds a time machine, and he does it in style. So before we jump in, I thought we should at least take a look at the star of the Back to the Future films, the DeLorean. I mean, this, when I was a kid, I ate this thing up. I mean, and I still think it's cool today. And my 40th birthday is coming up, and if anybody wants to know what to get me, you can find DeLoreans for sale in a lot of different places. I'm just saying. But that is a sweet, sweet ride. So I thought, why don't we bring a DeLorean here today? Why don't we get one that we can interact with? And I tried my hardest, but the best I could come up with was this one right here. If you can't get the real thing, you can bring Legos, right? Now this is actually mine. It is. I've had this for a couple of years now, and it is a cherished possession. I don't play with it. It's put together. It sits in a box on the shelf because I don't want anybody to take it apart. So my son has asked several times, "Hey, Dad, can I play with your time machine?" Nope. We're going to put a stop to that right there. But this acts as a way for us to interact with our past, to look to the future, to see where things are going, to think about what might have been or what I would do differently. Now, as much as I would like to, today's focus is not going to be the mechanics of time travel or, you know, a tiny plot point and then extrapolate all these things. No. We're going to look at a simple part of the story and see how it points to a simple and profound truth in our lives. Now, before we jump into the story here, I'm going to set this down because I don't want to break it. That would make me very sad. But we need to start to look at our characters that we're going to meet in some of our clips today. And the first one is one that we want to identify with. His name is Marty McFly. Now, Marty is the main protagonist here. And if I really want to get into character, I need to get my officially licensed movie vest out. You joke, but this hangs in my closet next to my Star Wars stuff. I'm not joking. My wife will attest to that, okay? I did. Are you joining the Coast Guard? What are you doing? So Marty McFly. Marty McFly is the main character. We are going to see him do lots of great things. In the movie, he gets to have a wonderful adventure. He invents rock and roll, and he does some cool stuff. But in the situations we're going to look at today, I want us and myself to try and identify with Marty. That's why I've got his vest on here. Plus, I like it. It's pretty cool. Our next character is Marty's father, George McFly. George is shy. He's nerdy. He is not very assertive. And he gets picked on a lot. Now, we'll run into George in Marty's adventure here, and he finds himself in quite a pickle. Our last character that we're going to look at is the all-wonderful and very smart Doc Brown. Now, Dr. Brown is a scientist, and he is the one who builds the DeLorean time machine that allows our characters to go back and forth in time. We will see Doc in these scenes, and we'll see Marty asking him for help. Now, before we jump into our first clip here, I want to ask you a few questions. If you could go back, where would you go? What would you look at? Who would you talk to? Is there some place in your past you'd like to go and revisit to maybe correct a mistake? Maybe you'd like to go and say goodbye to somebody one last time. Maybe you'd like to go and relive a past glory. Or just go see something cool, like, I don't know, like, well, the Lions never won the Super Bowl, so you can't. Maybe that's in the future. You could go in the future and see if that ever happens. But regardless, think about where you would go if you had the ability to travel through time. Now, our main character, Marty, in this next clip, finds himself in a very strange situation. Marty was helping Doc test out the time machine. And Marty now finds himself stuck in 1955. Marty is confused. He doesn't really know what to do about where he's at, but he really feels like he doesn't belong there. While he's there, Marty bumps into his parents. He wanders through town. And eventually he knows that there's only one person who can help him get back to where he's supposed to be. So he goes and seeks out his friend, Doc Brown. Doc is a little shocked and doesn't believe Marty at first as being a time traveler. But eventually Doc comes around, and they begin to talk about the situation. Now in the clip here, look for a couple things. Doc's going to mention a problem, and he's going to talk about a way to solve it. So let's go ahead and see this.
1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Gosh, Butch, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a life in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what she wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What'd you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Okay, all right, Saturday's good. I can spend a week in 1955, I can hang out, you can show me around.
Marty, that is completely out of the question. You must not leave this house. You must not see anybody or talk to anybody. Anything you do could have serious repercussions on future events. Do you understand?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Marty, have you interacted with anybody else today besides me?
I might have sort of bumped into my parents.
Great Scott! Let me see that photograph again of your brother. Just as I thought. This proves my theory. Look at your brother.
His head's gone. It's like it's been erased.
Erased from existence.
So Marty's got a problem. Not only is he in 1955, where he doesn't belong, but he's trapped. And the fact that he's trapped in the past is destroying his future. His harmless interactions with his parents have caused them to go on different paths, where they won't fall in love, and where his brother and the rest of his family will slowly fade away from existence. There's also the part where they have to figure out how to power the time machine. And I mean, that's simple, right? You just catch a bolt of lightning and, I mean, it's kid stuff, right? It seems impossible. Let's turn the lens back on us for a moment here. Do you ever feel like you're trapped in the past? Maybe not literally trapped in the 50s, but something that you carry around with you that weighs you down? How do you deal with those things? I mean, maybe you're like Marty and you thought, well, I'm here so I could just move around and do whatever I want. But it's not really working out. Just like Marty, things are screwed up and we need a plan. The plan starts to come together. Marty is working with his father, George. He's trying to guide him back to where he needs to go, to help him fall in love with his mom and live happily ever after and secure his existence. Now, he's given his dad some advice, and he's coached him. He's even tried to scare him, but it might not necessarily work. Let's look at George and see how this plan starts to play out. And I want you to just think about maybe how you have tried to cope with things in your past as well, and see if maybe you've had a little bit more success than George has had in this clip here.
Buddy, you were in school. What have you been doing all day?
I overslept. Look, I need your help. I have to ask Lorraine out, but I don't know how to do it.
All right, okay, listen, keep your pants on. She's over in the cafe. God, honey.
What made you change your mind, George? Last night, Darth Vader came down from planet Vulcan and told me that if I didn't take Lorraine out, that he'd melt my brain.
Yeah, well, let's just keep this brain melting stuff to ourselves, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, okay. All right, there she is, George. And just go in there and invite her.
Okay, but I don't know what to say.
Well, just say anything, George. Say, well, whatever's natural. Well, the first thing that comes into your mind.
Nothing's coming to my mind.
George, it was a wonder I was even born.
What? What?
Nothing, nothing, nothing. Look, tell her destiny brought you together. Tell her that she is the most beautiful girl you've ever seen in the world. Girls like that stuff.
What are you doing, George? I'm writing this down. This is good stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
let's go.
Oh,
take care.
Right. No.
Has brought me to you.
What?
Oh. What I meant to say was...
Wait a minute. Don't I know you from somewhere?
Yes. Yes. I'm George. George McFly. I'm your density. I mean... your destiny.
I mean, it could be working out. It seems crazy, right? And it is a little bit. Poor George just can't seem to get it right. He's awkward. He's tripping over his words. But he knows that Lorraine is his density. I mean, destiny. Spoiler alert, though, that part of Marty's plan does eventually work out. But just because he's found a way to reconcile part of his past doesn't mean that it'll get him home. You see, he still has to try and catch lightning in a bottle. He still has to try and find a way to power the time machine. Now, this plan is crazy. This plan is insane. I mean, who actually goes out and tries to capture lightning, to channel it, to use it? If you were me, then you and your brother tried to do that at some point with the lightning rod that was on top of the house. Thankfully, it didn't work. But like I said, we loved Back to the Future, so we were willing to try anything. So think about this as we look at our last clip. Think about just how absurd this plan is. Think about how impossible it seems. How unlikely that this could ever happen.
my plan for sending you home. Please excuse the crudity of this model. I didn't have time to build it to scale or to paint it.
That's good.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Okay, now. We run some industrial strength electrical cable from the top of the clock tower down, suspending it over the street between these two lampposts. Meanwhile, we've outfitted the time vehicle with this big pole and hook, which runs directly into the flux capacitor. At the calculator moment, you start off from down the street, driving directly toward the cable, accelerating to 88 miles per hour. According to the flyer, at precisely 10:04 p.m. this Saturday night, lightning will strike the clock tower, electrifying the cable just as the connecting hook makes contact, thereby sending 1.21 gigawatts into the flux capacitor and sending you back to 1985. All right, now, watch this. You wind up the car and release it. I'll simulate the lightning. Ready. Set. Release.
I mean, what could go wrong, right? This plan seems stupid. It seems crazy. But, spoiler alert, again, for a 33-year-old movie, the reality is that the plan does work. You see, it took a crazy, improbable plan to save Marty from his past. It took something that none of us could ever really dream to do. I want to ask you again about yourself. Maybe you're someone who has walked with Christ for a long time and you've found freedom. Maybe you're someone who doesn't believe or doesn't really know if there's really truth and rest. What is there in your past that you wear that weighs you down? That keeps you in chains. Maybe you have guilt, shame. Maybe you're scarred by someone that hurt you so badly you just can't seem to let it go. Maybe you've lost someone that you love. Friends, whether we want to believe it or not, we have a way to reconcile and be saved from our past. And it is the craziest plan of all. This plan is insane, it's nuts, it doesn't make sense, and some people will tell you it isn't even real. But I'm here to tell you that it is. You see, all throughout the movie Back to the Future, there is a theme song that plays over and over. And it's by Huey Lewis in the News. And it's called The Power of Love. And it's a really cool song. And one of the lyrics in there is something that I love. He talks about how love might just save your life. How that's the power of love. Friends, there is a love for us, for all people, past, present, and future, that is so big And it is so strong. And it will save you. A love so bold that it came up with a crazy plan to release you from the chains that hold you back. The Apostle John was a follower of Jesus, and he wrote a lot about love. He wrote about love in his gospel, and he wrote about love in letters that he sent to other churches to encourage them. And he talks about this crazy plan, this lightning in a bottle that saves us all. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of all the world." Friends, that is God's crazy plan right there. We are chained by guilt, by sin, by shame, by these scars. We try to hide it. We try to run away from them. We try our own crazy things to let them go, to hide them, to make them go away, and it just doesn't work. Just like Marty, we are trapped and we need a way out. And the only way we get out is because of that plan, fueled by the power of God's love. Later on in that same letter, John describes that love that is there for you, for me, for everyone else. He says, "God showed us how much He loved the world, how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world, so that we might have eternal life through Him." And this is the kicker right here. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. We can't do it. We cannot catch lightning. We cannot go back and change the past. We cannot go and manipulate the future. He did it all for us because He loves us. God did it, and He's asking us to lay everything down. To take off those things that we wear, like guilt and shame, and to go to the cross. Now, every day that I wake up and that I go to bed, I have this hanging next to my bed. This is a cross that my dear friend Bill Cox made. And it's a reminder that every day I need to go back and lay those things down because I don't want to carry them with me. Because my wife, she can attest to this, I love to wear guilt. I love to let it sit on my shoulders, and I love to let it beat me up. And I can't do that. Because I know, and this is a kind of our takeaway fill-in-the-blank statement here, to escape our past, God put together a crazy plan fueled by the power of love. And if you've never experienced that, and I invite you into that plan today. As we wrap up here, the band is going to come. They're going to sing a song about the power of God's love. And I just want you to think about, what do you need freedom from today? Where do you need... where do you need God's love to touch you?
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting FlushingCommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.